If you could get your Bibles, and we'll look at two sets of verses here. Turn to James chapter number 1, and then you can put something there, put your finger there, or a piece of paper, to James chapter 1, and then turn over to your right to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 4. And as I mentioned earlier, the title of the message tonight is Turning Trials into Triumph. And, you know, God is doing something specific and different in each and every single person's life tonight. And some of us may be going through a trial, a difficulty, a financial hardship, a family problem, a physical problem. And as we get into the message tonight, none of us are exempt from difficulties and trials. And so I hope my prayer tonight is that maybe something small that might be said could encourage you or help you or inspire you to make it. I believe that our church's goal and desire for each and every single person is for you to find God's will for your life and to stay in this thing that we call the Christian life to the finish. And unfortunately, a lot don't make it. And I believe this tonight is one reason why many folks don't make it is because they go through a trial, they go through a difficulty, and it gets them out of the race. It gets them out of the battle. So hopefully something tonight might be an encouragement to you. Let's all stand together, please. And we'll read 1 Peter chapter number 4, verse number 12. 1 Peter chapter number 4, verse number 12. The Bible says, Beloved, speaking to Christians here, okay? Speaking to Christians, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. How many of you have been there? You go through some difficulty or trial in your life, and you're like, man, what is the deal? Man, I'm trying to live for God. I'm trying to be faithful and do all these things, and yet I'm going through a difficulty. Man, this is kind of strange. It's kind of weird. By the way, we have to be careful. This is not original. I don't remember where I heard it, but remember this, okay? Success in the will of God is not determined by circumstances. Let me say that again. Success in the will of God is not determined by circumstances. You can be successful in the will of God, and situations just don't go well outside. But that doesn't mean you're not being successful. You are successful in the will of God when you are obeying what He says, regardless of circumstances. And that's what He's talking about. Say, man, this is strange. This is weird. It's a fiery trial. Let's turn over to the left, and we'll read here in James chapter number 1. Verse number 2. Again, James is speaking to Christians. He says here, My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. That's just different trials, different types of trials. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Basically, you'll be mature. Through trials, that brings about spiritual maturity. And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and abradeth or holdeth back not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Trials are a very real part of the life of a Christian. Trials come in all different shapes and sizes. Trials are not biased. They come to the rich. They come to the poor. They come to the educated and the uneducated. They come to those that have been Christians for 1 month and those that have been Christians for 20, 25 years. Trials are a very real part of life. And when you go through a trial, when you go through that storm or that difficulty, the question tonight is, will you make it? Here in James chapter 1, we're given a recipe, I believe, to turn our trials, our difficulties, our hardships into times of triumph. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you, Lord, for these great people. And Lord, thank you for the Word of God. And Father, we go through hard times. And we go through difficulties and trials. And I pray, Father, that you'd help us to make it. I pray, Father, that you'd give us the wisdom and the strength that we need to go through it, Lord. And nobody wants to go through a trial tonight. I don't want to go through a trial. Your people don't want to go through a trial. But God, I pray that you'd help us. Give us wisdom tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. We're going to get a battery for that? Okay, great. Two frogs fell into a tub of cream one day. One looked at the high sides of the tub, and they looked, and they were difficult and slippery to climb. He looked at those sides, and he said, I can't get out of this. And he relaxed, and he resigned to sink to the bottom, and he died. The other frog, thank you, the other frog, in the same situation, looked up those high sides of that tub, and he began turning his feet, and he began kicking and swimming, and he's like, I just don't know what's going to happen, but I just tell you what, I'm not going to be like that guy right next to me. I'm just going to keep on swimming and swimming and swimming, and you know what? Sure enough, after he swam long enough, that cream turned into a solid form of butter, and that frog hopped up out of that tub, and every single one of us sometime in our life is going to be just like that frog. We're going to end up in a tub of cream. And when we do, we have a choice. We can be like the first frog and just say, it's not worth it. I can't get out of this thing. I'm going to just sink to the bottom and die. Or we can be like that second frog and we can just start kicking. And we can keep on kicking and say, I'm not sure what's going to happen, but I'll tell you what, I'm not going to quit. And something by faith is going to happen. Tonight, I want to give you a few keys from James chapter 1 and how you can turn your trials into times of triumph, how we can have victory in the midst of a storm. Let me say, number one, we see here in our text tonight from James chapter 1, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Let me just say tonight, have a joyful attitude. You can't control a lot of things in life, and I often try to tell people when you're helping them, you control what you can control. You can't control the outside circumstances, but one thing you can control is your attitude. Have a joyful attitude in life. By the way, enjoy the Christian life. I don't know about you, but I didn't start living for God until a little bit later on in life. And I've been on both sides of the fence, and I'll tell you what, I enjoy the Christian life. And I try to tell the Christian kids sometimes, and we get in here for chapel, and I say, if you're saved, why don't you say amen? They look at me. And if you're saved tonight, sometimes we just need to tell our face and smile a little bit. Hey, enjoy this thing of the Christian life. Have a joyful attitude. And let me just say this, parents, please, your children are watching you. And children, they're not as naive as we think they are. And when we make the Christian life a drud, oh man, we gotta go to church tonight. It's midweek service again. Man. And we complain about it. You think our kids want that? You think our kids want to grow up and follow in our steps when all we do is complain and gripe and criticize about the church? No, we need to have a joyful attitude. Hey, I enjoy being a Christian tonight. I'm glad my sins are forgiven and my name is written in heaven. Hey, get excited about it. Have a joyful attitude. Your children are watching you, I promise you. And some people don't understand, like, why are my kids, they just don't get this thing of Christianity. And I get it. Sometimes we're all different. Okay, some of us, you know, wear our emotions on our sleeve, and some of us don't. But for your kids' sake, get excited about the Christian life. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. Have a positive attitude. Let me show you a verse here. Turn to Proverbs 18:14. Proverbs 18:14. Have a good spirit. Have a good spirit. your spirit in the midst of a trial is key to making it through the storm. Your spirit, or how you handle or how you act in the midst of a trial, is key to making it through the storm. Proverbs 18:14 says, the spirit of a man. And when you read in your Bible, we see normally two types of spirit. There's a capital S and a lowercase s. The capital S is talking about the Holy Spirit of God. This is not a capital S. This is a lowercase s. This is speaking about your spirit, my spirit. The spirit of a man will sustain or keep you going. His infirmities or your problems or your burdens, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmities, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? Your spirit is important tonight. If you're going through a tough time, I want to encourage you, have a good spirit. By the way, we need to guard our spirits. Your spirit's very important. Guard your spirit. Hey, stay away from negative people tonight. Stay away from the complainers and the criticizers and the gripers. Hey, guard your spirit. You're going to need it. When you go through a difficult time, that's what the Bible says. Your spirit will help you make it through the difficulties. Count it all joy. Guard your spirit. Let me say this too. Don't discourage your encourager. Don't discourage your encourager. Specifically to men. Because, you know, men, we need a lot of encouragement, don't we? And let me just say this, okay? I try to preach things that I've learned. And unfortunately, Brother Pineda, I've been always the type of guy that I always had to learn the things the hard way. Ever since I was a kid, I was like, oh, that's not going to happen. Let's see. And then sure enough, it did. Hey, don't discourage your encourager. Men. Your wife is your encourager. Be careful about her spirit. You know, things happen in the church, or things happen in work, or things happen in life. And if we're not careful, you know what we want to do is we want to come home and we want to complain. We want to, man, I can't believe Brother so-and-so did this in the church. I can't believe Sister so-and-so said that. And then we complain. We gripe. And pretty soon, if we're not careful, I'm going to hurt my wife's spirit. And by the way, women don't get over things as fast as men. That's just the fact of the matter. And you know what? Then there comes a day in my life, and I get over it. I go to sleep. Everything's good. But my wife holds that thing in. And then there's going to come a day when I'm really going through a storm. I'm going through a difficulty. I'm going through a trial. And I'm going to need my encourager. And I come to get some encouragement from my encourager, and she's discouraged. And she's hurt, and she can't encourage me. Why? Because I've hurt her spirit. Don't discourage your encourager, because I promise you one of these days you're going to need it. Have a good spirit. Have a joyful attitude. Parents, get excited about this thing called the Christian life. To turn our trials into triumph, we must have the right spirit. But we must also, number two, know. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Hey, let's just have an understanding heart tonight. Amen. Know that trials will come your way. Just mark it down. By the way, it's much easier to take something when you know it's coming. Right? Yeah. It's much easier to take something when you know it's coming. I love being a father, and I'm an assistant pastor at the church, and I'm the principal of the school, and you know, you have to, you know, be a little bit dignified and, you know, walk around like this, but I tell you what, when I go home, I have a good time. I love my kids. I love my family. You know, one of these things I love to do, I love to scare the fire out of my wife and my kids. I love it. I don't know what it is. Is anybody else out there? They just like to scare people. I don't know why I find fulfillment in it. It's like, boo, and I just want to scare them. And ever since they're little, you know, some people play peekaboo, and I would just scare my kids. And so we have a little game at the house. And if you've never tried it, try it. It's a lot of fun. You shut off all the lights in the whole house. And we play hide and go seek, but with all the lights out. And I'll go and I'll hide, you know, in some little corner somewhere. And my kids, you know, they count to five. One, two, five. And they come looking, and they're all stumbling all over each other. And I'm just waiting. And I see them. I can see the little silhouette, and I hear them whispering. And I'm in that corner, and I'm just waiting. And sure enough, they walk by, and all I do is, boo! And I scare them. And they run, and we have a good time, and it's a lot of fun. By the way, I love, when I first got married, I always used to scare my wife. She would be, before we had children, she would be in the kitchen. She would be, doing the dishes. And I would sneak out, and I'd hide like this. And I'd come up right behind her. And I'd just go, ah! And I'd grab her. And she'd, ah! And scared. And now we've been married for quite some time. And for some reason, you know what? With my wife, it just doesn't really work like it used to. I think I've scared her so much, she just kind of expects it. But that's how it is in the Christian life. Hey, just expect, know that trials are going to come your way. Hey, it's just like a boxer. Boxers can take a lot of punches, but which is the one that knocks them out? The one he didn't see coming. Hey, that's how the Christian life is. No, just mark it down. Trials are going to come your way. Know that trials are going to come to your marriage. Know that hard times will come to your child rearing. Know that trials are going to come in your ministry, in your finances and health. Just mark it down. Just be ready for it. And when that trial comes your way, say, I knew it was coming. Hallelujah. Come on. You'll be okay. Let me also say this. Know that your trial will not be forever. Right. Know that your trial will not be forever. You know, we were actually on our way home from church this morning, and the clouds. This is a just beautiful picture here. The clouds, and it's just real gray, real nasty looking outside. But there was a little glimpse in between the clouds, and you could kind of see right through them, and you see the beautiful blue sky, just picturesque. And it's like, you know what? The sky is always blue, but it's the clouds that come that make it kind of dark. And no matter what, and that's how storms are. Storms, they come and they're real dark and they're scary, and the thunder and the lightning and the rain. But you know what? Eventually they pass by, and that blue sky will still be there. Know that your trials will not be forever. Listen to 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. It's not forever. Right. I know that it seems like it is. And I know when you're in a storm, there seems like there's no end to it. But our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. There was a young lady that, and some of us have heard this before, got into the ocean off of Catalina Island. Many years ago, and she wanted to be the first lady to swim from Catalina Island to the shore of Long Beach. And she got in that water this early morning, and it was real cold. And there was a thick fog over the water. And she got in. Her name was Florence Chadwick. She was a young lady. And she began swimming on that long road, or that path, I guess, to Long Beach. There was two ships, one on each side of her, and she began swimming, and she began swimming, and swimming, and swimming. And she swam for about 16 hours. Some people, I can't imagine swimming for 16 hours. Some people have a hard enough time staying awake for 16 hours. And this lady was swimming for 16 hours. But that fog was real thick. It was thick. And there were some people next to her in the boat, and she said, take me out of this thing. I'm done. I quit. And they yelled back at her, just keep going. You're close. Just keep going. Don't quit. She said, I'm done. Take me out of the water. And they took her up out of the water. And as she got up on that boat, she broke through the fog, and she was about a quarter of a mile from the shore. and she quit this close. And I believe that there's a lot of Christians tonight that maybe they're going through a storm. And they're just like Florence Chadwick. And they can't see the shoreline. And they're swimming. And they're swimming. It's like, man, I just can't see where I'm going. And they want to quit tonight. But let me just tell you, you're closer to the finish line than you know. Amen. Hey, that trial will not be forever. I promise you. Learn to have the right spirit during a trial. But also understand that trials come to everyone. Just count on it. Another key we see here in James to turn our trials into triumph is the word let. Let. But let patience have her perfect work. Let me say this. Don't fight the trial. Let. God's working in your life. Let it happen. Don't get bitter at God. Don't get bitter at your church. Don't get bitter at your friends. Don't get bitter at your spouse or your children. God's working. Remember this, that God must first work in us before he can work through us. You think about Moses. Moses led a million people out of Egypt. God did a great work with Moses. But what did he have to do first? First, Moses spent on the run. He murdered a man. He spent 40 years on the backside of the desert wandering before God chose him to deliver his people. Well, how is that? Because God must first work in us before he can work through us. Joseph became the second in command in Egypt. He saved God's people. He gave them kind of that home there in Egypt. And what happened? God had to use Joseph to go through 13 years of in jail and being sold into slavery and being falsely accused and this and that. Why? Because God had to first work in him before he could work through him. And God has to first work in your life before he can work through it. Hebrews 12, 10 through 11 says, "For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he, speaking of God, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, after it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness, unto them which are exercised thereby." Hey, nobody likes to go through a difficult time. That's right. But God is working in your life. Yeah. Surrender to his will. Amen. Let God work. Let me say this. God is the master refiner. Yeah. Let's see this here. Turn to Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3. And no, it's not a verse on tithing. Malachi chapter number 3, verse number 2. Let him work. Let God work in your life. Surrender to that trial. God is the master refiner. Let's see it here. Verse number 2. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Now there was a lady that read this verse here, and like many of us, she wondered, how in the world can a loving, merciful God simply sit and watch as his children are refined? Look at this. That's what it says right there. For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap, and he shall sit. How in the world am I going through the storm of my life and the God of heaven is simply sitting there? And she wondered that. And she questioned. So she actually went and talked to a silversmith. And this is what he said. Her question was, "Do you sit while the work of refining is going on?" "Oh, yes, ma'am," replied the silversmith. "Listen to this. I must sit with my eye steadily fixed on the furnace, For if the time necessary for refining be exceeded in the slightest degree, the silver is sure to be injured. God is sitting there on his throne as you are being refined with the utmost care. And he's watching carefully, knowing exactly how much you can bear, and will not exceed it by the slightest degree so as not to hurt you. Christ sees it needful to put his children into the furnace, but he's seated right there by the side of it with his eyes watching you. As she was about to leave, he turned back and says, I have to tell you one thing. He only knew when the process of purifying was complete by seeing his own image reflected in the silver. When Christ's image is reflected in us, his work of purifying is accomplished. By the way, that's not going to happen this side of eternity. We're going to have to go through a lot of purging, a lot of trials. But let me just say this, you're not alone. God is right there. And God is watching you. And God is with you. And he knows exactly what he's doing. Your trial has a purpose, and we can turn our trials into triumph if we remember these four keys. Count it all joy. Know that trials will come. Let God do his work. And lastly, ask. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Really, our response in the midst of a trial should not be why, but what. And we say, God, I know you have a purpose for this, but what are you trying to teach me? And then listen. By the way, I believe this, that oftentimes if we can learn the lesson that God's trying to teach us, we can get out of that trial or that difficulty and move on the road. Amen. Ask. God wants to show himself strong in your life. Let me show you another verse here. Two more verses and we're done tonight. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 9. I shared this in Maywood this morning. But I believe that if you see the truth here, this is an amazing truth. 2 Corinthians 12, verse number 9. We're talking about trials. We'll read that verse number 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient. First of all, let me say, it's God's grace. It's not our grace, it's God's grace. He said, my grace is sufficient. Now, there's two types of grace that we see in the Bible. There's saving grace, for by grace are you saved through faith. God's riches at Christ's expense. One type of grace. But then there's also a second type of grace, or sustaining grace, or God's gift to you. God gives you the ability to live the Christian life. That's the grace of God. You know, we often say, but it wasn't for the grace of God, I wouldn't be here. What is that? God's ability to live the Christian life. Look what he says. My grace, not our grace, my grace, the ability to live the Christian life is sufficient. It's enough. It's enough for you tonight. God's ability to live the Christian life is enough for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities and my problems, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. God has just what you need tonight. That's his grace. Just enough so you can make it through that trial, so you can make it through that difficulty. Let me say this, that no one likes to go through the refining process. Nobody does. But like Job said in Job 23, but he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. One more verse, 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse 3. 2 Corinthians 1. Verse number 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. A little bit of the character of God. God is a God of comfort, who comforteth us in our tribulation. By the way, God wants to comfort you, or bring you comfort through your difficulties. It's like that refiner. He's watching you. He's right by you. He wants to bring you comfort in your difficulties, but not simply so that you can have comfort. There's a purpose here. Look what it says, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are also comforted of God. God has a purpose for the trial in your life. And I believe that God wants to bring you comfort. God wants to bring you some healing through that difficulty. But the purpose is not simply so that you can keep that comfort for yourself. But the purpose is so that you can take that same comfort that God comforted you and you can help someone else. And I believe that there's someone out there tonight and they're praying for you. They're pulling for you. They're saying, I want them to make it through that trial. So when you get to that other side, you can help them. Hey, nobody likes to go through difficulties. I don't like to go through difficulties. But there's a purpose for your trials tonight. And if you're not going through a trial tonight, I promise you, you will. You will. Remember the four keys. Let's stand together.